you please open your Bible at 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 1, we're introduced to a man called Elkanah. And verse 2, we're introduced to his two wives. They're both named Hannah and Peninnah. And then in verse 3, we take up our Bible reading in this verse. We're referring to Elkanah. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. May God bless his word to all of our hearts tonight, for Christ's sake. Now last Tuesday night, I announced the general subject of the message, Hannah's sorrow. And I had three things that I wanted to get across last Tuesday night, but I was only able to deal with the first point under that general heading. And we thought for a little time about the situation in her home. The situation in her home. Now, when you read this story carefully, you will discover that it was a devout home. When you think of the character of the man or the husband of the home, he was a man who observed all of the yearly sacrifices and observances and so on. Hannah was a very devout and godly person as well. We know that. So it was a devout home. But at the same time, it was a divided home because of the presence of the other woman. Because when Elkanah married Hannah, and he loved her very much, and when he discovered she was barren, as was the custom of those times, then he decided to take a wife who could give him a family. So we're not to think of this man as a horrible man. He was a bigamist. I mentioned last time that he was influenced by the spirit of the age. And that's why it was a divided home, because we have Hannah, this good, godly wife, and then on the other hand, we have this person called Peninnah, not a very nice person at all. And thankfully, there's not a lot of time spent on her, because the Spirit of God wants to move on to tell us more about Hannah, the child of God. And so it was a devout home and a divided home, and that's the reason why it was a difficult home for Hannah to live in. That's the situation in her home. And we dealt with that last week. There's no point of going over the same ground again tonight. I want to move on, and in the second place, I want us to think for a little time about the sadness in Hannah's heart. The sadness in Hannah's heart. So there's a build-up here, the situation in her home. It's difficult. But then there's the sadness in Hannah's heart. She was heartbroken for many years. We're told here in verse 2, but Hannah had no children. This was the source of great discouragement to her. And this certainly expresses the heartbreak that this child of God experienced. Now, I'm sure the devil came on occasions and brought this thought to her mind. You're a godly woman. Why is the Lord allowing this to happen to you? Look at Penina there. She doesn't really have the same love that you have for the Lord. Why is he allowing her to have children? And you worship me, you come often before me, and yet you cannot have the joy of having children. Sometimes that's the way the devil works, you know. He gets us to look at other people and see all the things that they have, and the things that we want we can't have for some reason or not. God has a purpose in all things. And we discover even in this portion, God had a purpose in how he dealt with Hannah at this particular time. Now, it's interesting to notice the three buts in this portion before us in verses 1 through 8. All these little words are important. You come down to verse 8, you have three whys, three questions. But in these verses, you have three buts. And when you see a but, there's a contrast, there's a question mark, there's a change. Look at the first one found there in verse 2. We read here about Penina had children, but here's the contrast, here's the change. Hannah had no children. And then you move down to verse 5 and you find two buts in this chapter. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. And then you come to that third but the Lord had shut up her womb. So when you put these three buts together, we discover something about Hannah's situation. There is a lack in her life. She had no children. Then there was the love in her life. We're told especially that Elkanah loved her. We're not told that Elkanah loved Penina. We're told specifically. No doubt he did, but not to the same degree and extent. But we're told here about the love in her life. He loved Hannah, verse 5. And then there is the third but the Lord shut up her womb. That's the Lord in her life. In divine providence, the Lord had shut up her womb. But then, as we come to verse 20, we see how the Lord opened her womb and gave her a child. And sometimes that's the way God works in divine providence. Sometimes he blocks the way, sometimes he prevents us receiving the things that we desire most of all, to get us to depend upon him more and more, to pray more fervently, to pray with zeal and so on. And then the time comes in his divine providence when he opens the floodgates of heaven, when he turns the situation around, and then he steps in and intervenes and gives to us the things we seek after and desire with all of our hearts. I think about Acts chapter 16. The apostle wanted to go in a certain direction, but the Lord forbade him to preach the word in Asia. You wonder about that. Why did the Lord do that? God had a reason. God had a purpose. It was not his will for the gospel at that time to go in that direction. It was God's will for the gospel to come to Europe. And we ought to be thankful in the providence of God for that decision that was made, that the gospel came to Europe. And down through the centuries, Europe has been richly blessed through the gospel of grace, the great period of Reformation blessing. So the Lord said no. The Lord shut the door and he said, I don't want you to go in that direction. But then, in the very same chapter, verses 9 and 10 of Acts chapter 16, there was a man of Macedonia. Here we have this call from God, this needy man, and he appeared unto the apostle, and there was the call. God was opening a door. And Paul felt assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. So the Lord closes this door, and in his divine providence, he opens another door. And I found that to be true in my own experience. And maybe you can testify to the same thing. Sometimes he shuts the door. We may not understand what's going on here, what he's doing. But if we patiently wait, we will soon discover God is working to a plan. God has a program in mind for you and for me. And it will happen in his own good time. Nothing can bring it any sooner. Nothing can prevent it happening later. It always happens at the right time. You've discovered that. I have discovered that. But we shouldn't forget, don't we? We're all the same. We shouldn't forget. God woos in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. Revelation chapter 3, we're told in verse 7, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. The Lord is sovereign in all things. And when God opens the door, he opens the door wide. No man can shut the door that God opens. No mistake about it. When God's time comes, God lets his people know. So you can apply this to the situation regarding the need for a pastor. That's our burden. That's our concern. It hasn't been forgotten about. We're still remembering to pray about the thing. We've been seeking God. You've been seeking God. And I want to assure you this. When it's God's time, the congregation will know about it. You will know about it. I will know about it. The session will know about it. And when that time comes, the door will open wide. Don't let us panic. Don't let us get despair. God is in control of every situation. God is a man. And we will be happy with his man. And when that happens, God will reveal it unto us. And the door will open wide. The door will open wide. And God makes no mistakes. He's sovereign in all things. And so we thought a little about the situation that she faced and the heartbreak that she had. But the point is this. In this particular chapter, the situation was all going to change real soon. That's the point. Hannah waited for a son. This is an interesting thought that came to me. Hannah waited for a son, but God waited for a woman. Did you ever think about that? God waited for a woman willing to surrender her son to him. And that was a great sacrifice she made when God gave her what she'd been longing for many years. When God gave her that son, she was willing to give that son back to him. She was willing to give back to the Lord. She was married, but she was miserable. She was blessed, but she was barren. She was godly, but she grieved. Faithful, but fruitless. She had grace in her heart, but she had no fruit in her life, and that troubled her. She bore a constant burden because of the barrenness in spite of being married into the priestly family. Because her husband was of the priestly line. And she was nagged by a household companion. She was grieved by her childlessness. And she sorrowed daily. Her heart broke every day. Can you imagine how she felt? Maybe that's the way you feel tonight. You've come to the house of God. You've looked around today. You can see other people and they seem to be relatively happy and content and prospering. And they don't even believe in God. They never attend church. They don't come to prayer meetings, certainly not. And you thought to yourself, why is this all happening to me? Well, the end is not yet. And the best is still to be. God has something special for you. And he has something special for me. Other women had the same problem in the Bible. I think about Sarah. She was barren. Yet God promised Abraham to give him a seed. And sure enough, did God fail him? Not at all. God did exactly what he said he would do at the right time. Had he waited? Had he waited for a prolonged period of time, but at the end it was worth the wait, wasn't it? Isaac, laughter. God gave him laughter at the end of all those years. Waiting for a long, long time, and yet it happened. The miracle was performed. God intervened by grace. God's never late. God never fails to keep a promise. He never fails to honor a word that he gives unto his dear people. I think of others as well. You know, Elizabeth, there in the New Testament. You think about other people as well, had the same problem. And as I said before, sometimes God begins with a child. As in the case of Abraham, as in the case of others, God began with a child. You come to the New Testament. John was the child of Elizabeth and Zacharias. God began with a child. And then you think about the greatest baby of all. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. And God began with him. The great work of redemption. When he went to the cross, he finished the work the Father gave him to do. It was God's time. It was God's mind. It was God's will. So she had been broken heart for many years. I don't know exactly how long. You may be able to identify with her. And she was longing for a man child. Today we have this great problem of abortion. It certainly wasn't a problem in that age, because every Jewish wanted to become a mother in the hope that she would become the mother of the Messiah. There was no problems with abortion in that age. Women wanted children. They looked upon children as the heritage of the Lord. And annually, when she went up to Shiloh with her husband, when it should have been a joyful event for Hannah, but each year Penina was there. And she used the opportunity to irritate and make fun of Hannah's barrenness. And sometimes that's the way it is when we involve ourselves in the service of God, and when we get into the spirit of serving the Lord, a routine in our life that glorifies God. The old accuser, because it was the devil who was behind Penina, and she was irritated. And she was always there. Every day Hannah had to look at her. Every day she had to listen to her. Every day she was reminded of her barrenness. But especially when it came to going up to the house of God, to Shiloh, to worship God. She got down in the dumps. She wept and did not eat. Her heart was grieved, verses 7 and 8. We're told that she wept sore. So there's a development. She wept, but then she wept sore. It's getting worse. So Hannah is worshipping, but weeping, struggling, but supplicating. The adversary provoked her. The priest thought she was drunk. Now, this is a lesson that we can learn. He was out of order. He assumed that she was drunk. He made a mistake. But Hannah explained what was really happening in her heart. He accepted the explanation, and then he pronounced a blessing upon her. Sometimes we can arrive at the wrong conclusion about people. We can think the wrong thing about them. And we're wrong. We stand reproved. And so we can see him. Here's a woman in great agony of soul. Her heart's breaking. She can't utter an audible prayer. Her lips are moving. She's praying from the heart. She learned the art of praying from the heart. And there she's agonizing. And this man standing watching. And he assumes that she's drunk. God, what's this woman doing here? And he was in that mood to reprove her. He wasn't right with God himself. What right had he to point the finger? He had two sons of his own, two of the worst priests ever in the history of Israel. No right at all. But he recognized his mistake, and then he did pronounce the blessing, the priestly blessing, upon Hannah. That's a change. There's a change for the better here, for the glory of God. Now, in spite of the fact that she was barren, Elkanah still loved her. So we have this man in the priestly line, head of the home. Have we not here a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ? He still loves the church in spite of our barrenness. In spite of our failures and shortcomings, the Lord still loves his people. She couldn't produce fruit for her husband. He had to go elsewhere. But he loved her still. And that's an encouragement to us. What a little fruit we produce for God. And yet he showers on us a worthy or a double portion. That's what Elkanah gave to Hannah. That word worthy means a double portion, special portion. The Lord always gives a double portion to his children. Great is his faithfulness. So keep that in mind. You may think, I'm not being fruitful in the service of God. I'm just wandering from pillar to post spiritually. And you get down in the dumps, and the accuser's there roaring of all that you've done. And you know, 10 times more, 20 times more that you're unworthy. But remind yourself of this. The Lord loves you still. And the Lord wants to develop us and improve us, to take away our barrenness, to open the womb, as it were, to let us free, set us free, liberate us, bring us into this place of divine fullness and divine blessing. So there's the sadness of our heart. I've got to come to an end tonight. In third place, I'll be brief. There's the source of Hannah's hope. Okay, she's sad. She's been heartbroken for many years. She's living in a divided home. It's a difficult home for her to survive in. And Elkanah and his wives went up yearly to worship in Shiloh. Now, this word Shiloh is found 33 times in the Bible. All but one time it refers to an area in the land of Israel. The exception is Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10. And let me just take a moment to read this to you. It's a prophetic picture, a prophetic word concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, unto Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So this word Shiloh is mentioned 33 times in the Bible, but there's only one reference, Genesis chapter 49 verse 10. It's a messianic prophecy given by Jacob, and it points us to Christ. And the first reference in Samuel to Shiloh, it's as a place of worship and sacrifice. The word sacrifice pertains, of course, to the altar, because Elkanah went up to worship and sacrifice. He's gone up to offer a sacrifice. Shiloh, as I said, is mentioned in verse 3, verse 9 and 24. It's in the heart of the promised land. The congregation set up the tabernacle there, its tent and its court, and it's a little building. And Shiloh is derived from a Hebrew word for peace or rest. Here's a place that ought to remind us of Christ. Shiloh, our peace, our righteousness, our refuge. He is our peace. We rest in thee. And so this ought to remind us of Christ. I'm talking here about the source of Hannah's hope. She's distraught. She's distressed. She's under pressure. She's heartbroken. But in the midst of it all, she goes up to Shiloh that speaks to us of Christ, who is her rest and her peace. And there she finds rest for her soul and deliverance for her soul, because it was there that she wept before God and she prayed and she got through to God, and the Lord broke through and gave her that prophetic word through Eli, of all people, that priestly blessing that the Lord will give to her the desire of her heart, a man-child. Christ is the source of Hannah's hope. Christ is the source of our help. Maybe tonight you need to get your eyes afresh upon him. Our rest, our hope, our peace. Christ was the source of our hope. Now we have a wonderful picture here. When Elkanah did go up with Peninnah and her sons and daughters, plurality there of children for Peninnah. Hannah at this point doesn't have any children yet, but she's going to get a male. And then she's going to have five more children. So God visited her in grace when he gave her Samuel. But then God gave her five more children. Five in the Bible is the number of grace. So God moved in grace and gave her Samuel. But then he came again and gave her more grace. Five more children. Isn't this an amazing thing what God can do? All those years waiting for the boy. Waiting for the male child. And then God came after that and gave five more to fill her heart. But she gave Samuel back to the Lord, and God gave her fivefold. He's a wonderful Savior. Now you see in verse in these verses that they go up and Elkanah gives portions. You've read that there in the Word of God, that they gave unto her sons and her daughters portions. Verse 4. Portions of what? Portions of the sacrifice. I don't know how many sons and daughters she had, but he had to divide. Penina had to get a portion. The sons had portions. The daughters had to get portions. They all got portions. What are they doing? They're going to feed upon the sacrifice. And that sacrifice points us to Christ. And this is something that we as the people of God need to enjoy, feasting upon Christ crucified and all of his fullness and all of his glory. But the point is this. Yes, he gave portions to them, but he gave to Hannah a double portion, that special portion, because he loved her so. And that's the way the Lord bestows blessing after blessing. He loadeth us with benefits and blessings. Not only did he give Hannah a child, he gave her five more. That's the way God works, you see. He piled blessing on after blessing. God enriches his people in this way. When we trust in him, when we obey, when we leave ourselves in the hands of God and allow him to take control of the situation. So they're all feeding upon the sacrifice. That's what they did that night of the Passover in Egypt. All the sacrifice of slain. And they needed a good feed, as we would say in Balamina, before they set out on the journey. And so the sacrifice was offered, the blood was applied, and they feasted upon the lamb as they began the journey to strengthen them for the journey that lay ahead. And oh, we need to feed upon Christ the lamb to strengthen us for the journey ahead. And he never disappoints. Always the same. And then, years later, she comes back to Shiloh as a place of dedication. Ah, this little lad, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5, whatever. She takes him by the hand. She brings him up to Shiloh, up again to Christ. And there she says to Eli, "This is the child I prayed for. Look at it. There's proof that God answers prayer. Standing beside me, do you remember me? You accused me of being drunk. I unburdened myself in the presence of God. Look now, old man, and see how God answers prayer. This is what I prayed for." Here's the proof that God hears and answers prayer. And God still hears and answers prayer. Never changes. And so she comes now. I don't know how she felt that day when she probably kissed him, gave him a hug. "Now you be good, Samuel." I suppose she needed to say that. He was just a child with a sinful heart and a sinful nature. So God changed him. "You be good now. You do what Eli tells you." And then the time came, lying there in the tabernacle. He hears a voice. God is moving. He doesn't know who it is that's speaking to him. He thinks it's Eli. And God speaks again, and God speaks again until Samuel recognizes that that's the Lord. Oh, what a joy when her children hear that voice and say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Pray to that end tonight in the prayer meeting. Let's get down to the business of praying for our children, our families, our loved ones, our congregation, the congregational members of this congregation. Pray about things that matter to this congregation. We need to pray about things, okay, wider things that affect other things as well. But in the meantime, let's think about this congregation. This congregation needs a visitation of God. Let's focus in upon this. Keep our prayers short and to the point. Keep moving on. I was blessed last Tuesday night in the prayer meeting. I want to be blessed again tonight. Want to hear the ladies praying as well, young people, older people. People have never prayed before, enter in tonight. God will help you. And I want to encourage you by saying, "Look at little Samuel. This is what I prayed for. There's proof." The source of Hannah's hope, Shiloh. Christ is our hope. Christ is our rest. A better finish. We'll move on next week to think of another general heading. There'll be a few points under that as well, but we'll wait and see what God has in store for us for next week in the will of God. But keep remembering Hannah. Don't forget about Hannah. Her tears and her trials and her troubles, but then the testimony, "For this child I prayed." God answers prayer. Let's seek the Lord together, please. I'd like to ask one of our elders. Brother Sir McIntyre. Brother Albert, please lead us. Thank you. As many as possible then, feel free to pray after brothers pray. Thank you.